Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and if you're on some other part of the world, we want you to know good evening. You are listening to Oracle Radio. We're broadcasting live from the United States to all you wonderful people in the world. I'm Shin Shuri, your host, and I'm happy to start this new year with a bang. This is the beginning of a new kind of experience this year, and we're starting this new year with the title of our show, Illusion Chasers, Part 3. Now, Summy is not joining me today, my co-host, because he's on hiatus. He is actually traveling the world for the next 3 months, so he won't be back with us until March. But in the interim, I am going to be doing this show as an expression of love, devotion, and truth. And I am going to be co-hostless today because I need to be able to manifest this vision of illusion chasing and the illusion of life that we call. So I'm hoping that all of our listeners who are tuning in this morning, if you're on the West, and this afternoon, if you're on the East of the United States, that you will be encouraged in this provocative dialogue to call in dialogue with me, to share your viewpoint and your perspectives about this topic. It's a very provocative topic. And I want to bring forth questions. These are questions that will help us begin to unfold the plan for our year. This year will be a year of transformation, a year of breaking down the walls and the tapestry of what we know and call life. That's what's up with this show today. So it feels a little awkward for me because I'm so used to having an engaging dialogue with my co-host, but he's not present at the moment. So I'm going to be doing some things over the next few weeks and getting more individuals like yourselves who listen to the show and enjoy coming and talking with us on provocative topics that interest you. I am so going to open it up to have anyone, which we were already doing this, but now that I'm co-hostless for 3 months, I need a co-host. I need more people to get engaged and be in action about what they're doing in their own lives. So this topic today is going to be very unstructured. It's going to be an evolving approach to our discussion. The ideas that I'll be sharing is to have the discussion evolve through question and inquiry. But it's going to be more of a freestyle. A freestyle is what we'll be doing today. So I want to encourage each of you to join in this collaborative conversation, this collaborative dialogue, whatever comes up as we ask those provocative questions about this illusion chasing. As you know, we've done a part one and a part two. This is part three. In part one, we focused more on things like why people chase illusions and do they even know that what they're chasing is an illusion and how did we get this way? These are all some of the provocative questions that we have posed in the past. Well, for this lovely show, we're going to go one step further and get beyond the asking the questions of how did I get in this situation and do I even know if I'm in this situation, to asking a more personalized question of why am I here? Do I believe everything I read and hear or think? These are some of the provocative questions we're going to get into today. So we want to encourage each and every one, whatever comes up, we want you to ask us and jump in here and share your perspective, because we may say some things or I might say some things that may strike a chord in you. And if that does, I want you to pay attention to that voice. And if that voice comes up, I want you to know to watch for it, to critique it. Be the observer of your own thoughts. Then decide, will you allow yourself to be riled and all angry about what I'm talking about and sharing, or will you allow yourself to be motivated, jump in here, and contribute your own ideas and perspectives in this co-creative process? The choice is yours. So, with that, I'd like to say I have one announcement. One announcement that I have is that in December, we were in a national competition with the Pepsi Refresh Project in order to win a $250,000 grant from Pepsi. It was a wonderful experience for me because I got a chance to actually get on the campaign trail. Well, the competition ended, and we did not meet the 100th rank in order to continue into January. We did rank 160th in the grant in our grant category. But I'm pleased to announce that Pepsi has invited us to continue in the competition for another chance to win $250,000 in March. So these are exciting times for us. As always, if you have a topic of interest that you want to share with me or with others, or with anyone that might be coming on, we want you to be encouraged to participate. And you can always sign up to be a guest host on this show. And you can do that by visiting our website at www.oraclesoftruth.org. Now, on to the main topic, Illusion Chasers Part 3. That's what I'm talking about today. That's what's coming up for me. And I have some very provocative questions. It looks like I have one caller here. And hopefully this caller would be willing to come in and dialogue with me and share their perspective on this thing. But before I request an introduction from my caller, I will definitely give you the theme of this show. The theme of this show deals with the rat race, what we call the illusion chasing. So listen up.
This is the rat race. Rat race. Rat race.
So when you hear that sound, that's a clue or an indication for you to call in and give us your perspective on the topic of the question that we're talking about. So with my first question, is this experience of life real? How do you know? If you know, then how can you know that others know? See and experience what you know. That is the provocative question for today, and I want to hear what our caller has to say. So I have a caller on here, and their number is last four digits, 1147. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Hello. Could you tell me your name and where you're calling from? And I'd like to hear what your perspective is on the question, is this experience of life real, and how do you know?
Well, my name is Tamika, and I'm calling from Bloomington, Illinois.
Well, hello, Tanika. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
All right. So my answer to this is, I would say yes, this experience of life is real. And I guess what I go off of is, I have moments in my life, I guess when I sleep, I dream. You know, when I wake up, I recall my dreams, and to me, that's a dream. And I know that I feel that that stuff didn't really happen. It was just something that was going on somewhere in my subconscious while I was asleep. So I can't, I guess I say that it's real. My experience now is real because I don't feel like I'm in a dream state. I feel like what's happening is actually happening. But I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it more, but I guess I think that it's real.
You think it's real? Okay.
Yeah.
There are many people like yourself who believe this state of experience of life is real. So for those of you who are in the chat and who are listening in, the question that was posed is this experience of life real? How do you know? And if you know, then how can you know that others know, see, and experience what you know? Well, my comment to you, Tanika, is this. Some call this experience an illusion. Many people call it the Matrix. I've even heard it referred to as an experiment or the game of life. But I'd like you to consider this possibility. The possibility that it is all of those things and none of those things. What do you have to say about that comment? And for our listeners who are in the live chat, I'm going to type this question in the live chat because we want to hear from you as well. Is this experience of life real? How do you know? So these are the questions. Now, it might feel like some of these questions make you feel like you're in an alternate reality or in, say, for example, you're in an alternate reality like the Twilight Zone, right? So my question is out there, and I'd like to hear each and every listener share their perspective because what you have to say about your experience of life is very important because that's how we can identify if what we believe is real is really real. If I'm experiencing what you're experiencing and I'm describing it in the same way, well, can I still say it's real? Not necessarily. If I'm experiencing what you're experiencing and you describe it differently, and I describe it differently, and other people describe it differently, but we all know that we are seeing each other, how do I still know that it's real if it's really all part of my mind? So you have to have something outside of yourself, outside of the experience, that can tell you, oh, this isn't real, or this is an illusion. So let me give you an example. If I'm in, like a fish, I'll give you a fish in the ocean. A fish is living in the ocean. And for that fish, a whale or a shark or any kind of, you know, aquatic, you know, kind of animal living in a big ocean or a big sea, and for them, that world is real for them. They have no idea outside there's another 3D level of experience that we humans call life. For them, their whole world is centered in the ocean. Except for a few animals like the dolphin and the whale who come up and can, you know, lift their heads outside of the water and even at times jump out of the water, they are the only pieces, animals in the water that actually know that there's some other experience of life out there. But for, you know, tropical fish who they spend their whole time in the water, they never come up. They never come up to, you know, see what's in the fourth dimension, which is where we are. In their world, their 3D is the water. And so they're stuck there, and they're living as if that's real. But is it really real, or is it just another level of existence? These are the questions that we're talking about. Or is it a hologram? I've even heard it referred to as a hologram. So those are the kinds of questions that we'll be proposing to our listeners. So with that comment, Tamika, that I've just made, what's coming up for you now that I said that? Because you made a comment earlier about, well, when you're dreaming, you think that you're dreaming, but when you wake up, you feel like this is real. Well, how do you know that you're still not dreaming? Other than the fact that you just feel that way, how do you know?
I don't know, but one thing that came up for me is it's a lot of physical things in the world, like computer, phone, this and that. And a lot of us here in the world can identify with those things. So to me, the physical things of the world are real. But when it comes to the subjective things, like, you know, whatever you feel and think about yourself, like I feel that I can't speak in public, or I feel that I'm fat, or I feel that this, feel that that. When you go to all of those thoughts, I feel that those are subjective, and those are the things that's really in your head that's making your world appear as it is. So what you see from your own perspective, in that regard, other people may not see. And then that portion of your world is kind of yours, and it's not something that's really shared by the rest of the world.
Right.
So I think it's portions of the world that I feel that all of us can see and identify as being the same things. But other portions of your life is created in your head by whatever view that you have on the world based on your experiences with it.
Okay. I like what you just said. So I'm gonna expand on what you just said about the portions of the world that we all see that we can agree is the same. But is it? Because we're using our thought system of our mind to say that that's real, and we've all agreed to say that that's real, but is it really real is the question. That's the real provocative question that I want to get answered by anyone that's listening. Because just because we agree to say that this is red, and it's red because we all agree to it, is it really red? If we all say this is an orange, and we see an orange tree or a lemon tree, and we all say, well, that's a lemon tree, and we are going to agree that that's a lemon tree, and that's what we're going to label it and call it, is it still real? That's the provocative question that needs to be answered. Because if we all agree that something is real, and everyone just says, okay, that's real, and so we all call it real, how do we still not know that it's real? We have no other evidence outside of the fact that we just agreed to it that it's real.
Well, for that, is it really real? I don't know. But it's scary to think that it's not.
It is? See, that's where
yeah.
truth comes out. And see, for me, when I hear those kinds of comments, I say that's where real truth can emerge, because you're challenging your belief system. You're challenging what you think you no, it's true, or what you have come to accept as truth because you've been told. So that gets into another question that I had, and that is, do you believe everything you think, read, and hear as being factual? Just because you read something, and I'll use this as an example, something in a textbook, are you going to assume because one person wrote it that it's real? Well, you'll hear some people say, well, if I could corroborate what this one person wrote with what this other person wrote, then I can assume and I can make some assumptions that this is, but that doesn't mean that it's real. You're, as you said, you're going to deduce, which means you're assuming, that the corroboration of these two people saying the same thing means that it's real. So if you're corroborating and you're assuming it's not factual, how do you know that your life is real and is factual and you need nobody, no book, no religious text, no religious scripture, or anything to validate it, because you know from your own knowing of it, your own experience of it, that it's absolutely real. You don't need proof from anybody outside of yourself because you already know it's real. That's what I'm talking about. That's where you need to get. When you get there, you don't need proof externally to know that something is real. People look for answers by talking to people or going to sources, but those sources could be inaccurate. And if it's not recorded in history accurately, then can you hold or believe the veracity of it? That's where we're going. So what do you think about that?
I don't know. It's like I can't really answer if it's real or not, because I don't know. To me, I feel that it is, but your question is making me think that maybe you know something different that I don't know, or you see something differently from the way that I do.
Yes.
And so I'm interested
and
in
that,
what
that's the mystery. Why do I see things differently? Why am I different? Why can't I understand what you're saying, but still not agree with you? That's what we're really saying, right? Because, like, I can understand exactly what you're saying because I've been there, but then I don't necessarily agree with you because I've also been somewhere else, and I know, right? From where I stand, if I don't know something, then I'm going to say something like, for example, I think or I believe. Belief is not knowing, and there are a lot of people who think that because they believe something that it's real, that it's fact. Fact and belief do not go hand in hand. I'm sorry to have to say that, but that's just fact. Fact and belief don't go together. Fact and knowing go together. For example, if you stub your toe, do you say, I believe I stubbed my toe, or I know I stubbed my toe?
I know.
Exactly. Do you need to say you believe it because you know it happened, correctly?
Correct.
If someone hits you or you get in a car accident, are you going to say, I believe I had a car accident, or I know I had a car accident?
I know, but that leads me to think if the question is it real? So if I don't know that this experience of life is real, to me, stubbing my toe, getting the car accident, is part of this experience.
Yes, I agree. It's part of the experience of the illusion. But what if you were able to step out of the illusion and see yourself stubbing your toe? Now what are you going to say? I'm just posing questions here. I'm not
saying the pain that I feel from stubbing my toe is real.
I'm just saying, you know, I'm saying these are questions that cause you to pull down the wall of the illusion. Because if you hold to it, it's going to be real for you. That's what my I think earlier in the week, I posted something on my Facebook wall that said, if you give credence to the illusion, it becomes real for you. So you believe your experiences of pain, suffering, headache, stress, if you believe it, it becomes real. But what if you were to experience life from a whole new vantage point, a whole new perspective outside of the illusion that this is real, that what is happening to me is real? What if you live from the perspective of, okay, what is happening to me is of my own doing. I am creating right now the experience experiences that I'm having. So if I say that I'm in pain, it's because I believe I'm in pain. If you say you're happy, it's because you believe you're happy. But what if you're just happy regardless of what incidents or what occurrences that happen in your life? Even when you have a death in the family, even when you have a life-threatening experience, you still can wake up the next day and say, I'm happy. I'm not stressed. Then you begin to break down what we call the walls of the illusion. So the next question, I have callers, I have chat people coming in and out of chat. I have another caller on. These are provocative questions, so I have to ask another question. So
I'm a fella, I'm a boss, I'm a jacket. Oh, what a rat race.
So my next question is, how did the world come about? Who created it? Now, I'm asking this question, and I really want to challenge each and every one of our listeners to go beyond this question. Don't simply recite religious rhetoric. Really make an attempt to go beyond what you have already been told or have read in some metaphysical text or religious scripture. I really want you to challenge yourself here, because we already know what the Bible says. We already know what the Quran says. We already know what the Bhagavad Gita says. I can keep going. What we really want you to do is go beyond what you've been told and taught in this world. How did the world come about? Who created it? If you hold what you've been told, which goes back to my previous questions earlier, do you believe everything you think, read, and hear? If you hold to those as truth for you, and my statement earlier this week, if you give credence to the illusion, it becomes real for you. If you hold those ideas and ideologies and religious principles as truth for you, it becomes real for you. Now, I don't want anyone who's listening to be thinking that I'm like against religion. I'm not. I'm just posing questions. And I want to challenge people to get back into their higher state of existence, which will open up complete answers, unfettered by the illusion, if you allow yourself to go there. If you allow yourself to really challenge yourself, you'll really be able to open up and receive answers. Everyone has access to what I'm talking about. It is not something reserved to a select few or a few prophets. It's available to everyone. Everyone has access to it. So the challenge is for you to break down the tapestry of the wall of the illusion that you've created in your own life. So that's my question. I pose that question to my caller, and I have another caller on, and I'm going to open up the line, 5919. You're in. I have two callers here, and I'm interested to know what both of you think. Who's the new caller? Ms. 5919 is the extension. Area code 404. Caller doesn't want to say anything. Okay, so my first caller, what do you have to say about what I just said?
I mean, I don't know. When you asked that question, the first thing that I thought about was just thinking about the human reproductive systems and how we get here. You know, I see it as two distinct things meeting up, and it's just evolving into something else. But I don't know. All of my, what I think, goes back to just things that I've learned in science. So it's still things that I've picked up and learned in this world. So beyond that, I don't know. And that's always been a mystery and a question for me in my mind.
Okay. So let's take the first comment you made, and that was the human reproductive system. I'll tell you what I know. I'll start there. What I know from the human reproductive system and how we are brought into the world, that it's all a part of the creative process of the construction of the world in the universe, that it's a part of the system. It's a systematic process that just automatically does it based on choices that are being made by individuals like you and I at a higher spiritual level to enter into this state of existence. So the moment you make a choice at a higher state of spiritual existence, and we'll call that existence oneness or universal consciousness or whatever, at that level of consciousness, you separate yourself out and say, what if I were to enter into the world and make an experience? The moment you make that choice, you enter into the world through the mechanism that has been structured and set up to operate and function the way that it does. So those who are already here, parents, people, your mother and father, at some point you make a choice to enter the world through the two people that came together to create you as a child entering the world. They didn't create you, they created your body. It's the act of that creative process that's inherent in this world, in this systematic process of living, that you manifested. You came into existence. All because you chose to. You know, some people say, well, my parents didn't choose to be here. Yes, you did. It's a fallacy to think that only your parents made that choice. You too. They can't do it without you agreeing. Everyone is in agreement here. And nothing is happening by anyone's unconscious will that they didn't already set in motion. Right? So what I'm saying is that you are at the helm, which gets into my next question. And I have a question for the Oracle Treehouse. If you want to call in, Ms. Oracle Treehouse, you can. We have open lines. You can call in and share your perspective. So my next question is for the Hooligunner.
I'm a gorgona, a summer hooligana, a summer guinea gaga. In this year I pray, yeah.
Okay, so my next question. So we talked about how did the world come about, who created it. Do you live your life as the actor, actress, the director, or the producer? Because there's one or more a multiple of these things going on. And there's only one person in control. Or should I say, one being. So the next question, that goes for you, Tamika, in Illinois, and those in the live chat. Do you live life as the actor, actress, okay? So you need to think about this, about how you're living your life right now. And then I'll explain what I mean by actor, actress, director, and producer. Any comments, definitely share them in the live chat or call into our call-in number. That call-in number is 347. I'm going to say it for those who are in the live chat. 633-9540. So definitely share your perspective. We want to hear from you. Call us. Let us know how you feel. We got two callers on. One's quiet. They're not saying much. They get an opportunity to come on. Definitely chime in because I have the lines open. And that question I'm going to pose back to you, my first caller, Tanika. Do you live your life as the actor, actress, the director, or the producer? Or a combination of any of those?
Yeah, I feel like I fluctuate between all of them. Because at certain points in my life, I feel like I'm living as an actor, actress, taking order and directions from other people. Because a lot of times I worry about what people think. I worry a lot about what people are going to think, how people are going to feel in response to the things that I may want to do or want to say. So at those times, I feel like I'm giving more power to other people and just other circumstances in my life and letting that dictate me and what I do. So during those times, I consider myself as an actor or actress. But then there are different parts of my life where, you know, it's things that I want to do. And I'm like, okay, forget it. I'm just going to get up and I'm going to do it. And I do it. And at those times, I feel like, you know, I'm actually directing. I'm you know, running the show. And I get up and I just do it. I know I did a dance camp here in the community. And that was something that I thought of on my own, and I went out and I talked to some people about it and got their interest and started the team. And we got together and really made that happen. And I was really proud of myself because I had a lot of things going on within me at the time. I was scared. I didn't know if it was going to work. I didn't know if I was going to sign people. I didn't know if people were going to think I was crazy or whatever. But I just put all that stuff aside, and I went and I did it. So at that point, I feel like, hey, you know, I'm in control. I saw something that I wanted to do, and I went and made it happen. But I fluctuate. So it just depends on, I guess, how I feel and how much I let what I feel and what I think cloud what I see.
Right. So let me you said a lot, but one thing that stood out for me based on what you said was this, that sometimes you feel like you allow people to tell you and direct your life for you by taking direction as opposed to being the producer. But I'm gonna challenge you on this one. I want you to tell me, what if, I have this question for you specifically, what if you were to just stop being the actor and actress and the director and just play the role of the producer? Because that's what you're doing anyway. See, the illusion is that you think that you're being the actor, actress, and the director, but you're actually the producer, which is a combination of all three. Think about it, and I'll give you this analogy. And then I'll give you an example. So here's an analogy. In Hollywood, you have producers like Steven Spielberg. He produces films, and he'll hire directors and actresses to play in his film. He's always producing. Then you'll have producers who actually direct and act, like Mel Gibson. He produces, directs, and acts. But he's still a producer. Right? So he may shift roles. But here's an example for you. That was the analogy. Maybe a little bit of an example. But consider the possibility that at the producer role, your life is always you're the producer. You're just allowing someone else to give you direction and therefore giving the illusion that they're directing you, but you're allowing yourself to be in that subservient role. If you choose not to be there, you won't. So you're always the producer. You can produce whatever experience you want by shifting the role that you choose to play. So you're always the producer. Consider that as a possibility. What do you have to say about that? And any of our listeners in live chat, definitely share your viewpoint on what was just said.
I guess if I really saw and felt like I was the producer of my life at all times, that I would definitely have more power, personal power over my life than I do now. Because, honestly, it's a lot of points in my life where I feel like there has to be more to it. I mean, it's things that I want to do now, but I'm scared. You know, I'm scared. I don't want to look bad. I don't want to fall flat on my face. I don't want to do all of that stuff. And I worry about, you know, how am I going to look and all of this and that. So if I really saw myself as being the producer of my life at all times, I think I would have more power. I think I would have more room to consciously make choices about my life to go in whatever direction that I want to go. But
aren't you doing
right
that anyway?
Now,
aren't you doing that
I'm
right
not,
now?
I
you
mean,
just think that you're
I guess
not.
I am, but I'm making choices that I don't really like because I'm scared to make the choices that I probably will like.
Okay, so you hit the nail right on the head right there. You're making choices. Say that one more time. I'm making choices that I really don't like because I'm scared to make the choices that I want or like. You are the producer. You are producing the very experience that you're having right now. You ever thought about it that way?
I have. But I guess it hasn't resonated deeply enough for me to really do something about it. I mean, it does at some points. So, but other times it just, I guess it doesn't hit me hard enough for me to do something differently.
Well, let me share a little bit of secret with you. And I think this is just, this is for anyone who's listening right now, live or in the archive. If you do not take charge of your life as the producer, at some point, all of that thought process that you go through that keeps holding you back, at some point you're going to reach an impasse. And you may, unfortunately, it may be at the expense of some kind of traumatic experience. So if you don't want to continue to vacillate, which cause, you know, variability in how you see life and your experience of life and all of that, there could come a time in order for you to truly wake up, because that's what all of us really want to do, that you have to actually reach your nadir. You have to have a traumatic experience in order to get where you really need to be. Right? That is what we want to prevent. People do not have to go through traumatic experiences to awaken. I will let you know, every time you wake up in the morning, you're waking up to the realization that that is an illusion. And it's what I call still dreaming. When you go to sleep and you dream, it's no different than when you're awake in the illusion, because it's still a false reality of what is. Your dreams and your when you're in what we call an unconscious state, according to Dean, like, see, there's levels of connectivity, all right? And And when you see it this way, you start to say, oh, aha, I'm starting to have some kind of understanding about this. If you see the experience of life in this world as one level of consciousness, which is what we call the conscious state, the wakeful state, that is an illusion, because at the next lower level is what we call an unconscious and subconscious state, the unconscious state, which is actually a sleepful state when you're dreaming, and you're still dreaming about things that are in your subconscious. People think that unconscious and subconscious are the same thing. They are not the same thing. You can be in your subconscious state and draw from experiences that you've had that are stored in your subconscious while you are in your conscious state, which is the wakeful state that we're talking in right now. You can also pull from the subconscious when you're in your dream state, which is the state that you're in of unconsciousness, when you're actually asleep and disconnected from this conscious state, which is the state we're in right now. But there's another level of consciousness outside of the conscious state. The state that we're talking in right now is the conscious state. There's another level called the superconscious state, which is a higher level of consciousness beyond this level of dreaming. So you're not really awake. As long as you're in the world, you're still dreaming. You're just doing different levels of dreaming. Either you're in your unconscious state dreaming, or you're in your conscious state dreaming, but you're not really awake. What do you have to say about that? And any of our listeners in the live chat, you guys are passively listening. We need to hear from you guys, because this is an interactive, provocative, dynamic dialogue, and this is a co-creative process. We need everyone that listens in to share their viewpoint. That's what we're doing here. We want to hear from you, so definitely call in. 347-633-9540. So back at my original caller, Tamika, how do you feel about what I just shared with you?
I guess, I don't know, when you say being in this world, I don't understand that, because to me, you're still in this world.
Yes, but so I'm awake in the world. See, this is okay. Let me help you understand. I'm in the world with you.
Okay.
But I'm not asleep in the world. The person that's talking to you is not the unconscious sleep Tame. It is the wake Tame, the one that knows that there is a reality beyond this world. So I'm actually in the illusion with you, but my knowledge of what is possible is beyond this world. It is not a part of this world. My understanding of life transcends the experience that we're having right now. So I can be in this world, and it's almost like, not to compare myself to Jesus, but I'm going to use this as an analogy, okay? When Jesus was on the cross, for example, in the Bible, when you read the Bible, they talk about how Jesus was on the cross and they were persecuting him for his, you know, teachings. And he said, I have to do this, because he had a purpose in life. So his understanding transcended the common understanding of the people that were in the world. Although he was in the world with them, he knew that his life was not in the body. That's where I'm at. I'm not in my body. My life does not exist in the body. My life exists outside of the body. It just happens to be here manifesting with you right now to help you awake. I'm here to remind you of who you are so you can wake up too. That's why I'm in the world. I'm not here to try to convince you to be of some different religious viewpoint or perspective. I'm here to expose and reveal and clarify your existence so that you know You are already great, and everything around you that you think is real is an illusion.
So how did you get
That's
there?
That's what I said at the beginning. I got there because I let go. You gotta let go of this belief that, you know, you're waking up every day and this is real. You gotta let that go. And I'm telling you, it's hard. It's hard for people to let go. But I'm going to tell you, you're not alone, and you will be assisted if you take the first step. But you have to take the first step. You cannot get there by yourself, but you have to be willing to move in that direction and say, you know what? I know this ain't real. I woke up one day and said, this is not real. This is so freaking not real. And because I made that first step, I was able to say it. There are a lot of people who can't say it because they think that they're gonna divide God, or they're blasphemy. It's blasphemy or whatever. It's letting all that go and being absolutely free, because the creator that you are is beyond this world. And this is a learning process to help you remember who you are. You are not the soul, the body that you're in. You're beyond that. Your soul transcended. You already believe it. You just don't want to let go of the body. You already accept that when you die, you go somewhere else, don't you? You believe in Christ, don't you?
Yeah, but I have mixed feelings.
I'm assuming you believe in Christ. I mean, I don't know if you believe in Christ, but you, even if you're Buddhist or if you're Islamic, you believe in something greater. Do you not? Most people, including atheists, I will sit here and I would say even atheists believe in something more. Everybody does. I don't care what you call it. You could call it God. You could call it, you know, Buddha. You could call him Yah. You could call it whatever, Christ consciousness. You can call it, universal consciousness. You can call it divine energy and source energy, whatever. Everybody believes in something beyond the world. Everybody. Even scientists, they're exploring the cosmic universe because they want to know, because they believe that there's something else out there. They believe that there's something more. They don't know what. They can't put a finger on it. They can't say what it is, but they're looking. They're exploring, and that's what they call science. It's no different from the theology of the religious systems that are already in place on the planet. The only difference is it's more concrete with the science community, whereas in the spirit, in the religious community, it's esoteric, it's mysterious, it's not concrete enough, so scientists kind of shun it. But it's the same thing, just two sides of the same coin. That's what we're talking about. And that's what this year is about. Oracles of Truth is about pulling down the tapestries of the illusion. We're going to get people back to themselves so they can reach their greatest potential and step into their greatness and be a magnificent star. That's who you are. You are the star waiting to shine. You've been flickering a little bit. And now it's time to illuminate in all of your grandeur and beauty, because you are great already. That's what's up. So what do you have to say about that?
I wish that I would get there, because I search a lot. I search, and I haven't found it. I mean, I read books and, you know, all the other stuff. Part of my search, but I don't know, I don't know if I want to say it's not registering with me, but I guess it's just not staying with me, and that makes me feel like you have something that I don't. And that's why I'm not getting it.
I don't have anything more than you have. The only difference between you and I is that I've let it all go. I've let it all go. I let go of the illusion. I said, this ain't real. This is a false. This is so false. I could pull down these walls and take, matter of fact, I can literally peel back the walls of this room and expose it for what it really is. I see it. I'm walking around fully awake in a human body. That's where you need to get. But you have to let go. You have to let go of those old belief systems and those old truths and facts that you think are real in your subconscious. Not your unconscious, your subconscious. So let me ask you a question. Because one of the listeners is asking, do you meditate?
And I've tried. But I can't, most of the time, I can't stop myself from thinking. It's like something always comes up in my mind. Or I get uncomfortable or something.
Woo! You know, that's the repeat mechanism that's built in. See, it's all a learning process. The repeat mechanism is the ego. The ego keeps coming back around through that back door. No. See, you're trying to meditate. No, wait a minute. Hold up. What about this? What about that? What about that? Wait, I'm trying to meditate. I know, and I want you to remember. What about this? What about that? What about? You need to shut him up. Shut the ego up. Shut her up. Tell her to leave you alone and just meditate. You're so funny because now when the ego tried to do that to me, I ignore it. I completely ignore what the ego says. You got to get there. That's where you got to get.
I don't know. I guess I've come to the point where I think that meditation doesn't work for me. So I've tried soul writing. Janet Connor. So I did that for a while.
You read the book or did you go to the class plug-in?
Huh?
Did you go to the actual class plug-in or did you actually just read the book?
No, I just read the book, and I was reading, like, some of her newsletters and stuff like that, but I haven't gone to a class.
Okay. Okay, so we got some other people who want to talk, and I'm going to go in, and I'm going to open up the line because I have 0570 who wants to talk, and I'm going to do a slight extension for the show. Go ahead. We got you on the line.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Who just called in? Could you tell us your name and where you're calling from?
Yeah, Twin Flame Lover. You say 0570.
Hey.
I was waiting for you, hey, to say my first, the first three.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I'm calling from New Orleans, Louisiana. And I just want to say to the person with meditation, okay, it's a consistent. You have to be consistent. And Orica, is she talking? She's right about the ego. But just remember, the ego only exists in your past and your future. Your now moment, okay, is what you have to connect with. And you have to go and put in, when you take something out, you have to replace it. So you have to do affirmations. You have to remind yourself it's a consistent, yes, I know, it's like, it is simple, but you have to be on top of it, okay?
Okay.
Nobody cannot do this for you. You have to do it yourself because it's about self-effort and self-healing, and you do have it within you. Now, I want to tell you about these different voices, okay? Because I did a series on this. It's about sub-personalities. It's about inner child wounds that need to be healed sometimes. And let me tell you something. You have to talk to yourself and answer yourself back. Yes, when you recognize who it is, yes, like Orica says, cast it to the side. But right now you need to get to know some parts of yourself that you have just simply ignored. And they're not going anywhere because, as you see, they continue to pop up on you. Okay, so when it comes up, say, hey, okay, I recognize you, I acknowledge you, what is it that you want? And say, you know what, I love you, because that side of you needs to be reconciled, Okay, there's a dark side of us as well that needs to be reconciled.
Yes.
So love
Absolutely.
It. Say, I love you. And it's not necessary for you to act like this. And you know what happens? That foe becomes your friend because it throws you the wisdom in how you need to respond and not react, okay?
Okay.
So what Oracle is telling you is the truth. Don't give up. Yes, you said you try, you try, you try. But if you continue to try, you're never going to get it. Just say, I am. I am. Think it, feel it, believe it, act it in every aspect of your being. And the energies are here right now to help you to do so. And that's all
exactly.
I want to say. Thank you. I was asking who was talking because, you know, I love your voice. You're strong, and I know you're firm and grounded in what you believe. So that's why I just wanted to just connect with this energy and just say I love you and have a blessed day. Thank you for taking my call, okay?
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Okay. All right.
And just to piggyback on what she said is the I am, Tamika,
mm-hmm.
is what you have to believe. You know, a lot of people don't want to say I am because they think that it's outside of themselves, that's God's territory. I'm gonna say something that's probably people who are very religious in their following would probably cringe. I'm gonna go as far to tell you, you are God manifesting right now as Tamika. And so am I. And neither one of us is the absolute, but we are an expression of it. And we have all of its, we're imbued with all of its qualities and its characteristics. Okay? We have everything, we can do everything that God can do and more. But we have to believe it, and then more will open up for us. Not just as individuals, but as a collective species, as a human being, as a race of people on this planet, will begin to illuminate in our, we will transform and experience life in a whole new way that we have yet to realize and have, it's imaginatory at the moment, but it's there and it's waiting to be exposed and revealed so that we can move and elevate and experience the very thing that we all say we want at a higher level. Okay, so when you can let go of thinking that I'm Tamika and I'm so small and I'm not able to do it and that I have to depend on God, you have forgotten who you are. You are God manifesting right now. I am. Everyone in chat is. Everyone all around the world is. We are all individuated forms of the very I and I consciousness that we all pray to. And when you are able to let all that junk go that you had stored in your subconscious past and the thoughts that you have about the future of what's possible, you don't know the future. The future is unfolding right now. And it will be what it will be when you get there. Because you are consciously moving in that direction, and you will experience the future as you do. Each new moment is a step towards understanding who you are, why you're here, and where we're going. And that's really what it's all about. I know we're past the top of the hour. It's been a really, really great show. I'm so thankful, Tamika, that you called in, because I'm here for you. I am here for you. There's nothing that you can't talk to me about. You can call me. You can send me an email. You know, if you want to listen to more shows, and we're going to have our first training course launching in February, and I'm pleased to say this. We're going to be launching Living Awakened Life, which is our first e-course. It's a very, very powerful course. Those who are going to listen to this archive, it will be available absolutely free, and it will open you up and move you in a direction that will help you start to accept your greatness and move and become the shining star that you already are. You just have to remember. So I just want to thank each and every person that called in today and everyone who's commented in the live chat. I want to thank each of you. This show has been a tremendous blessing, not just for me, but for those who are going to be listening to it. And I want to remind you that we broadcast live biweekly on Saturdays. In the weeks when we are not broadcasting, listeners may access our show archive via the Oracle Learning Community, iTunes, or here on Blog Talk Radio. You may also find us on Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, YouTube, and other social media sites. We are everywhere. We are just trying to be inundate people with what we're doing and our message. And our message for this year is to pull down the walls of illusion, to break them down, to give you back to yourself. So don't forget to bookmark us as a favorite in your Blog Talk Radio profile and visit us on the Oracle Learning Community today to become a member, because you have to be a member to take our online courses. And I just want to thank each and every one of you. Our next show is called Beyond the Rhetoric, Part 2. Universal truth is not confined by religious rhetoric or dogmatic undertones. It is an expression of unconditional love in a single life form. Can you handle truth expressed in multiple forms, even when truth does not seem to align with what you think you know? Are you willing to integrate the power of one? Join the live discussion in 2 weeks to connect, share, communicate, learn, and share your viewpoints and perspectives with the Oracle Learning Community. Solamente aquí, only here on Oracle Radio. Thank you, Tamika, again, and I'm here for you. And remember, if you need to talk to me one-on-one, just give me a call. I can give you my number when the show ends, and I'm just so here for you. So definitely, we want to make you successful in 2011. We're going to break down that wall of illusion, and we're going to give you back to yourself so you can step into your greatness, because you are already great. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in today, and have a wonderful, wonderful new year.
The ideas and views expressed, shared, and communicated are not designed to limit, change, dispel, or ridicule individual ideas, religious convictions, beliefs, or unique mindsets. Our intent is to challenge conventional views in ways that may or may not have been exposed and debated before. The goal is to educate, enlighten, inspire, and provoke new ideas, viewpoints, and creativity in any and everyone who is willing to listen, communicate, and share their own ideas, beliefs, and perspectives. By sharing, we may be empowered to collectively transform our world and live according to supreme design, as well as our own, in ways that will transcend our present reality.